Folkcast 049, it's February 2010. Hello, hi, it's Phil here. Welcome to another Folkcast. You catch me just as I'm tuning up. I just thought I'd give you a quick blast of some of my own playing here. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that makes your finger ends bleed, I imagine. Fooled you? Of course not. No, not for one second, I bet. That wasn't my playing. My playing is restricted to, well, video games, basically. But that was, in fact, Ewan Dobson, who is, well, he's got to be Canada's premier finger-picking guitar player, you know, having won just about every prize in his home country for his astonishing playing. And I think you'll understand why from listening to that track, which was called I Feel Your Pain. And Ewan, we all feel your pain. And that comes from his debut solo album, which is called Ewan Dobson, and is on the Candy Rat Records label. Right, well, welcome to yet another Folkcast. This is Folkcast 049 for February 2009. My name's Phil Widows, and I'm going to be bringing you, over the next hour and 10 minutes remaining, something like that, the greatest, the best, the finest handpicked selection of music from the genres of folk, folk rock, singer-songwriter, and roots-based music. Which covers a very wide church, but, well, we filter out the stuff that doesn't fit into that. So that's no opera, no country and western, and no hip-hop or trance music, I think. Other than that, you're pretty much going to get everything. Coming up, we've got music from names that are new to the podcast, names that are very familiar to the podcast, giants in the folk and folk rock world, and new talents that you wouldn't have heard anywhere else unless you scour the depths of MySpace and similar websites like what I do when I'm not talking into this microphone. Okay, well, I'll bring you the first of those in a moment. And we've also got the return, I tell you, of Baba and the Story Behind the Song crew, bringing us details of exactly what the heck a particular song is all going on about. This month he's delving into the dark and dangerous depths of the mining industry, which has led to some terrible tragedies, but also created some astonishing songs over the years, as a result of those tragedies, in fact. And we've also got a new poem from our folk poet, Dave Alton. And Dave's really making a stir with those poems of his, and I'm pleased to say that Folkcast is playing its part in that. It's Dave's been inspired to start his writing career again, thanks to the feedback he's got on his poetry, and he started his own website. But more of that later. Let's have some more music. Here's a track from an old friend of the show. This is Darv the Bard. He's got a new album called The Crowman. A cup of tea, another slice of cake with humith, Crowmanthar, as old Wurzel Gummidge would say. And this is what is, for me, the very best reading of a really massive traditional song. This is Twa Corby's Darv the Bard. Oh,
says to the hunting gong, he's out to bring the wildfowl home. His lady loves another night, oh, so we may make our meal tonight, oh, we may make our meal tonight. So you sit on his milk-white thigh, and I'll peck out his bonny blue eye. With a lock of his golden hair, oh, fix our nest when it grows bare, oh. We'll fix our nest when it grows bare. Oh, oh, shall know where he has gone, or his bones where they lie bare, oh. The wind shall blow forevermore, oh. The wind shall blow forevermore. Oh.
Twa Corbies is a song that has been covered by a lot of people down the years, but I think Darv the Bard there has really captured the essence of it. It's a dark and serious song about the fragility of life and the ever presence of death, really. And that dark brooding guitar and his vocals have summed it up for me. And that's from his album, his new album, Tales of the Crow Man. And check that out. It's full of traditional music. He's written some great songs of his own in the past, but it's all traditional on this new album. And while we're talking about Darv, we must mention, of course, he's got his own podcast, and that's Druidcast, which covers paganistic religions. So check that out via the link from our show notes at folkcast.co.uk. Now then, I mentioned the world of MySpace earlier, and a strange little world it is as well. I must thank my Mrs. Jo, who runs our MySpace page for Folkcast, and what that does is it attracts innocent musicians into our orbit. They like the comfort and security of MySpace, and they wander over to our Folkcast page on MySpace, and they say, "Oh, look, a podcast. Can we have our music played on the podcast, please?" And very often we're quite pleased to do that. And they send us a song, and we play it for you. This is just one of those. This is by a band called Letters to the Front, and that's made up of Dave Grimson on guitar and vocals, and Laura Ellison on melodica, glockenspiel, and vocals. This is the song that they sent us. This is called The Spirit of St. Louis.
I built a machine to take you away. Single engine monoplane. We'll fly away to White Sand Beach. Sounds far-fetched, but within reach.
Hey, little man.
get off the ground. But it's so hard to pin this spirit down. If we go by night or day, we'll take away a picture perfect postcard of St. Louis. Come down here, lie with me, I'll buy you a ring, make you my wife tonight. But it's so hard to pin this spirit down. If we try to fly today, we might get off the ground. But it's so picture perfect postcard of St. Louis, of St. Louis. If we go by night or day, we'll take away a picture perfect postcard of St. Louis.
If you love me, you wouldn't really go. If you need me, say you love me so. When I hold you, you wouldn't say let go. I adore you, now I really know. Our love has gone and died. Now I know it's time to cry. Yeah, your tears tearing my heart. With each tear, it's falling apart, yeah. Step off the one-way train to turn to the worst. God only knows my spirit aches. This time I feel love is a curse. So much of a curse. Love is a curse. So much of a curse. Sleeping under the tears of a broken man. His dreams have now turned into fears. He won't do what he can. The misused nights are the hardest for me. say you would smile when you were free. But now you've got what you want, it ain't what you need. Step off the one-way train to heartbreak. My heart has done a turn to the worse. God only knows my spirit aches. This time I feel love is a curse, so much of a curse. Love is a curse, so much of a curse. Love is a curse.
If I'm a butterfly, you're a star. Lost on the wind, chased in the sky. In time, exchanging sparks as we go by. I was a lost soul, drifting alone, sinking so silently and frozen. No. My sleeve. What you get is what you see. You saved me from a hailstorm, battering my walls. You pulled me from a sinking ship. Now we'll never be a part of it. park, that's where we'll start.
Three songs there, sent directly to us by the people who performed them. You've just heard Shipwrecks and Sunsets by David Oakes, a singer-songwriter from Oxford in England, who wrote to say that he'd listened to the last Folkcast, loved it, and thought he'd send us one of his own compositions. Thanks for that. David says that he's hard to pigeonhole, and yeah, I agree. So maybe you, the Folkcast listener, can help us both out. Can you describe David's music in three adjectives? Follow the link in the show notes to his MySpace page to hear more music by David Oakes. And answers on an email, please, although there is no prize. And before that, it was Stu Simpson, another man with genre problems, describing himself as too poppy to be folky and too folky to be popular. Yeah, well, we know what you mean, Stu. Again, Geordie Born Stu has a MySpace page, so follow the link in the show notes at folkcast.co.uk to hear more of his folky poppy pop folk. But I like it, and it's popular here. Oh, and Dave also mentions that he had a single out at Christmas, a festive number called The Ballad of the Grumpy Old Men, which reminds me to remind you that there are, well, less than 11 months to the next Christmas, and now is the perfect time to write a suitably seasonal song or tune and send it to me to include it in December's festive selection box. Do it now, before spring comes and fills your mouth with Easter eggs. Contact details are on the website. And right at the start of that trio of songs was The Spirit of St. Louis by London duo Letters to the Front. Now, before anyone writes in to tell me that it should be pronounced St. Louis, I know. Send a letter to Letters to the Front, not to me. Right, fancy a spot of poetry? As I mentioned, our in-house folk poet Dave Alton has set up his own website with some mates of his, so check the show notes for a link to that. But not before you've heard his latest, a very strange story about a real-life pub in Newcastle upon Tyne, which is up in the northeast corner of England and where the old tack a bit strange-like. How are you, Dave?
A Free Trade Tale by Dave Alton. Free Trade Inn is a canny pub, looking along Newcastle Quay, serves fine ales, and its toilet walls are as good a read as a read can be. One morning, mine host was opening up, a Baltic wind blowing about. He found an old gadgie on the step, a pale and threadbare down and out. "Have a terrible thirst for a beer." The cloud-like sky was dull and grey. "How much can I have?" the old chap asked. "I've only got 10 pence to pay." All landlords are such generous men, but publicans can't make a loss. "You'll not get much for that," he replied. "Not enough to wet a glass." From a torn pocket the old bloke took a single, shiny, new 10p, and a glass the size of a thimble. "Please fill that. It's enough for me." The landlord hadn't the heart to refuse, so to a handpull he did go, little glass between finger and thumb, and let the merest trickle flow. Never a drop was spilt, and yet the minute vessel didn't become full. Before he knew what he was doing, the pump was on maximum pull. Ale gushed like a cataract in spate, while the nozzle sputtered and strained, even though the glass stayed half empty. Soon the whole new cask had been drained. A deal's a deal, though. So the landlord went to a second pump to try and fill the glass up to its brim, but just ran another barrel dry. Frantically, he went from pump to pump as rain lashed in on the Baltic blast. As a final drop of beer plopped in, that thimble glass was filled at last. Putting his 10 pence on the counter, the tramp downed his drink with a sigh. Then, with a bless you, he left the pub, stunned, silent, and utterly dry. A pub with no beer, legend of song, no delivery due until a week on Wednesday, and just 10 pence, which he dropped in the empty till. It had to mean bankruptcy. The doors of the free trade been locked and barred, demolition, redevelopment, and the cold Baltic rain rained hard. Then the landlord heard a very odd sound, strange tinkling coming from the till. He pressed a button, triggered the drawer, and stood amazed and watched it fill. 10 pence coin after 10 pence coin came, till the till was overflowing, spilling out on the floor in a heap. Still the silver pile kept growing. Filled up all the bin bags he could find, and every empty cask and crate, yet coins kept on coming, a cascade, a silver Midas couldn't abate. Mine horse might easily have been drowned, sinking into a 10p pool. Looking up for a third time, he saw the gadgy stood on a bar stool. You're well paid for what I drank. And with a movement swift and deft, plunged his arms into the coins, picked one. Mine, he said, smiled and winked and left. The floor was staunched, leaving heaps of coins. Enough for the landlord to thank for the double rupture he suffered, carrying them all to the bank. Wind and rain blow in from the east. Going to the free trade makes good sense. Just order drinks for everyone there, then offer to pay with 10 pence. 10 pence. 10 pence.
Dave Alden, just one man with a pen and a head full of folk tales, until the day he unlocked the door with the key of his imagination and discovered that he'd entered a place of both shadows and substance, and crossed over into the Folkcast Zone! Yes, that was a free trade tale, and the remarkable music was called Great Escape by hurdy-gurdy player extraordinaire Nigel Eaton, and it comes from his latest album, pandemonium. Well, what do you think? Should we stay up in the northeast of England for our next song? What? No? Well, tough. I call the shots around here, so that's exactly what we're going to do. This is a cut from the brand new album by The Imagined Village, and it's a take on the classic traditional folk song Biker Hill, with lead vocals from, well, see if you can guess.
If I had another penny, I would have another Jill. I would make the piper play the bonny lass of Biker Hill. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore.
Biker Hill.
My Ginny, she is never near. My Ginny, she is never near. When I call out, where's me supper? She orders up another pint of beer. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. My Ginny, she sits hour late up. My Ginny, she sits hour late up. Ginny, she sits hour late up between the pint pot and the cup. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Hey Ginny, come home to your little baby. Oh Ginny, come home to your little baby. Ginny, come home to your little baby. With a pint of beer under your arm. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Biker Hill and lads forevermore. That poor Colcada get to shilling. The deputy gets half a crown, and the overman gets 5 and 6 months left just for riding up and down. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. The pitman and the king and trim, to the dance they do begin. They drink bumbo made of gin, they dance the Elsin Marley. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Johnson had a pig and he hit it with a shovel and he danced a jig all the way to walk ashore to the tune of Elsin Marley. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore. Biker Hill and walk ashore, collier lass forevermore.
Like dirt, there'll always be a happy hour. Parties with money,
What a tricky track that is. Starts off as a perfectly normal English folk song and ends up in, well, where else but the Imagined Village, a band that's made up of a host of top names from English and not English folk music. People like Simon Richmond, Ali Friend, Johnny Calzai, Chris Wood, Simon Emerson, Shima Mukherjee and Martin Carthy, of course, who, together with his daughter Eliza, featured strongly on that track. Martin taking the lead vocals, and that comes from the Imagine Village's new album. It was out in January, called Empire and Love. And Biker Hill, of course, is a story of mining folk, really. The Biker Hill, as I think has been mentioned before on that Folkcast, was a very progressive mine where it worked a workers' cooperative, and the miners actually shared the profits that came from the mine in quite a good way. That's not always the case, and Babel will be along later to tell us a rather different and darker story about another mine in another part of the world, which also inspired a song. But first, here's a tune from the brand new second album from the acoustic instrumental trio Bellevue Rendezvous. The album's called Salamander, and this track is called Hunter Drow. Sound of You there with a track from their brand new album Salamander. Bellevue Rendezvous features an unusual combination of instruments. And if you're racking your brain thinking, what the heck is that sound? Well, that'll be Ruth Morris on nickel harpa. And she's complemented by Gavin Marwick on fiddle and Cameron Robson on cittern and jaw harp. The nickel harpa, rarely seen in the UK, is a beautifully toned instrument in the viola register, I'm reading this, with many resonant strings which give it a full, rich sound. It has darker, grainier tone than the fiddle, which allows a greater depth in the interplay between the instruments there. Aren't you pleased that you found that out? The cittern supplies much more than rhythm, with creative use of chords and harmony. Oh, yes, indeed. Go to the website and you can find a link to the Bellevue Rendezvous site, where you can hear more of their medievally type music. Okay, well, I've mentioned him twice, so we better get the Baba out. Baba with the story of, not a traditional folk song for once, but one that looks likely to head into the realms of the tradition. This is the story behind the song.
Hello, folkcasters. I was thinking, you know, we haven't visited the rich tradition of industrial folk songs for a while. And coincidentally, a pal was playing Martin Carthy's first album the other day, and while we were listening to the Spring Hill mining disaster, she said, "Here, Baba, there must be a story behind that." To which my reply was, "Well, actually, there are three. Which one would you like to hear first?" Spring Hill is in Cumberland County in Nova Scotia. Coal was discovered there early in the 19th century, and several mines were dug to work the extensive coal field. More were added over time. In 1891, the first of the Spring Hill mining disasters occurred, when fire broke out in numbers 1 and 2 shafts, killing 125 miners and injuring many more. Fire used to be an ever-present danger in early underground workings due to the presence of explosive gases such as methane leaking from the coal seams. When miners used to work by candlelight, these gases were very easily ignited. But in 1815, Sir Humphrey Davy invented a lamp that had a mesh around it, which was so fine that the lamp couldn't set fire to the gases. I ought to add that George Stephenson invented a similar lamp, and there is some argument about who nicked whose idea. But the important point is that by 1820, the risk of serious gas explosion underground had been vastly reduced. There was still a risk of fire from the amount of coal dust in the atmosphere, though. And it was the coal dust igniting that caused the Spring Hill fire in 1891, the source of which, by the way, was never established. This first disaster at Spring Hill was on a scale that had previously been unknown, and it made the news all over Canada and the then British Empire. The second disaster took place in 1956, and it involved not just miners underground, but surface workers too. Once again, coal dust was the source of the tragedy. By the middle of the 20th century, the dangers of dust in the air were well known, and there were systems in place to make sure that it couldn't build up to a dangerous level, because, you know, dusty air is terribly dangerous. Almost any kind of dust, if sufficiently concentrated, can be made to explode if there's a source of ignition. That's why windmills and even other mills used to burn down sometimes, or sometimes they'd actually explode. These days, mines have powerful extractors that prevent dust accumulation. In the case of number 4 pit at Spring Hill in 1956, though, the accident was due to a tragic chain of events. A train was bringing up a load of coal dust which had been recovered by the extractors, bringing that up to the surface when it met a blast of air that was being sent down the shaft by surface fans. The coal dust was disturbed and a cloud of it was blown back down the mine. Well, no problem so far, because there was nothing down there to ignite it. However, minutes afterwards, some of the wagons broke loose from the coal dust train. They ran back down the track, derailed, and hit a power cable, which sent sparks up into the dusty air. Well, the fire tore through the mine, and the explosion blew the dust on the train to the surface, where there was a massive detonation that demolished many of the buildings at the pit head. In total, 39 miners were killed, but 88 were rescued from the burning mine. Once it was decided that as many as could be saved had been, the pit was sealed for 2 months, so that the lack of oxygen would put the fires out. It's the tragedy, though, that took place in October 1958 that is probably best known as the Spring Hill mining disaster. And it's the subject of the song that was written by Peggy Seeger and recorded by Martin Carthy and many others. Here it is.
In the town of Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, down in the dark of the Cumberland mine, there's blood on the coal and the miners lie in the roads that never saw sun or sky. Roads that never saw sun or sky. In the town of
my musical partners, John and Rachel Bowyer, of course, without whom I wouldn't have any song to tell the story behind. So, thanks as ever. The 1958 Spring Hill mining disaster was due to a severe seismic shock, or bump, as it's known in the mining business. You see, when a mine's dug, pillars of rock are left in order to support the workings. And as a mine expands, the weight that they support can shift. If a pillar collapses, the pressure in it can make it explode like a bomb. A bump, though, is much more serious. It's the explosive collapse of one or more rock walls, which can lead to the collapse of the entire shaft. On October the 23rd, 1958, there was an enormous seismic shock in No. 2 shaft. This was one of the deepest coal mines in the world at the time, being some 4,000 feet underground. One of three walls being worked blew out, as did the ends of four seams near the collapsed wall. The shock was so great that it was felt on the surface, an indication of how serious the bump had been. Miners trained in rescue work immediately ran into the mine, but it took time to get to the site of the collapse, as the workings were reached by a sloping shaft over 2.5 miles long. When the rescuers got close, they met injured miners trying to make their way to the surface. Once nearer the site of the explosion, they found that the roof had collapsed and much digging was required. It became clear that any miner who hadn't been in a side gallery had probably been crushed by the rockfall. Miners from nearby pits rushed to help with the rescue effort, while the media also headed for Spring Hill. In fact, the disaster was the first ever news event to appear on live television. It was 5 days later when contact was made with a group of 12 survivors, separated by 160 feet of rock, and a tunnel was dug to release them. Another group were found on November the 1st, nearly 10 days after the explosive collapse, but they were the last. There were 174 miners working in number 2 shaft when the bump hit. 100 of them survived, due in large part to the enormous community effort that went into keeping the rescue work going. The Carnegie Medal is awarded to people who have performed acts of extraordinary bravery in the US and Canada. It's only been awarded to an entire town once, when it was awarded to Spring Hill, in recognition of their perseverance in saving so many miners. Well, that's it for this time, but I'll be back next month with another story behind the song. In the meantime, fare thee well.
Carry me up, carry, carry me up, carry, carry, carry me up. never turning round, never turning, never turning, never turning round, never turning round, never turning round.
Everyone's accustomed to the standards, so I bust a gut. You know I'm only too pleased to help ya. Smile so warm like it's forged in my smelter. Always got my hands full, nothing too fancy for. Strong goods made with my tongs and my anvil. Driving the ingots, holding my molten. Ironing the fire, then I'm layering and folding. Temper and harden, make things of all shapes. Horseshoes to nails till they sail down the waterways. Cause with no nails, shoe gets lost, and for the want of a shoe, every horse gets lost, and for the want of a horse, every rider is lost. That's why I take pride in providing the loss. I'm the blacksmith, so all hail to the smithy, the man for the job. If you're wanting it done quickly, nothing too tricky. I graft all day just to serve all the village for a minimum pay. 'Cause I'm the blacksmith, so all hail to the smithy, the man for the job. If you're wanting it done quickly, nothing too tricky. I graft all day just to serve all the village for a minimum pay.
The roots of trees are trying to find their feet out through concrete that lines those streets. Mishaps, man-made crimes discreet. Movements can make blinding leaps, but it's so slow, like how the world evolves. Not hasty and harsh, like a gang of 12 trolls. On the black magic market, secret pearls are sold that hold the power of how this earth's controlled. So if we speed up nature's reactions and start acting and making adaptions, we'll make them leave before they're taking a fraction. We'll confuse them when we're breaking the patterns, 'cause this land was safe before man escaped. But they preconceived when they planned to rape, and hands they shake, deals they had to make. We'll cut them off dead before they hack and break. Act with faith, the trees have always provided. Ask one and it will never deny it, unless it's hollow and something dark lurks inside it. My mind's against them and I'm always reminded. Hug me, hug me, hug me, it's lovely. Hug me, hug me, hug me, it's lovely. I'm a tree.
What's that? What's that? I'll tell you what that is. That's Brighton-based folk rappers Bombadil. And that was a new song from their brand new album called Further Into the Woods. And why Further Into the Woods? Because their 2007 album was called Songs from the Woods. Very familiar title there. I think I might have heard that one before somewhere. Anyway, the track we just heard there was called Hug Me, and the one before that was also from Bombadil, and that one was called The Blacksmith, featuring a rapper called Longfellow. And you might have noticed some sampled vintage Fairport Convention in there. That was the flying fiddle strings of Dave Swarbrick, and of course the answering guitar of Richard Thompson. Mashed up, resampled, and given a new lease of life as the backing track to The Blacksmith. Very clever stuff. And before that, a tune even, from a brand new double CD album, a best of, from Catherine Tickell. And that was called Tiger's First Bird. And I say nothing more about that title. And before that, it was one of my favourite new bands, and that was The Sea Kings. We've been playing them a lot lately, and their new tune is called Carrie. Look at the time, almost the end of another Folkcast, and that means I must thank you, our dear listeners, for downloading the show and pushing our finger into your ear. And into your ear, by the way, not into your rear. And I must also thank all the artists who allowed us to be the propellant that pushed their music into those aforementioned orifices. Now then, I must also thank our regular contributors. That's Dave Alton, our folk poet, and the story behind the song crew. That's Baba and Rach and John. And they'll be back next month with more of the same. Next month, of course, is March, so we'll be back on around about the first weekend there, or thereabouts. Anyway, so look out for the show from March the 7th. I'm going to leave you this month with one of those folk greats that I mentioned right at the top of the show. Let's say the words Ian Anderson. No, not that guy. Not the Jethro Tull guy. This is another Ian Anderson, Ian A. Anderson, who in 1969 was a country blues singer. And then he took a swerve into what now gets called psych folk or acid folk, full of heavy science fiction and fantasy influenced songs and acoustic guitar instrumentals, and he brought out three albums on the cult label Village Thing. Then, 4 years later, he returned to his country blues music and founded Folk Roots magazine, locking away the masters and refusing all pleas to let them out again. Until now. In 2010, it's the 40th anniversary of Village Thing, and there's all kinds of things coming out. If you've got some old vinyl copies of Ian A. Anderson's original albums, they could be worth a lot of money. And if you don't have them and don't want to spend a lot of money, then what you want to do is follow the link in the show notes at folkcast.co.uk and find out how to download the brand new compilation called Time is Ripe by Ian A. Anderson. And from that, this is the title track. So this is me, Phil Widow, saying keep focused on Footcast and bye-bye.
The time is ripe to get into the country when the season gets out of hand in the town. Perhaps it's the papers that give me that feeling, but I wish to hell it wouldn't follow me round. Sometimes I think it's time to try something new. But yet again I really don't know what I'm trying. There seem to be people who take great delight in treading on your fingers when you're reaching for a rung on the ladder that could take you to a better position than sitting in the basement while the upstairs ones have fun. Sometimes I think it's time to try something new. But yet again I really don't know what I'm trying. A little bird whispered in my ear what would happen if I took myself out one more time for the hunt. But a vulture is not the sort of bird you can trust, with the wolves close behind and the butchers in front. Sometimes I think it's time to try something new. But yet again I really don't know what's worth trying. They're printing the pictures of the band once again, who tried very hard to become a superstar. It's not that I envy his success, mind you, but his name is too familiar to me by far. Sometimes I think it's time to try something new. But yet again I really don't know what's worth trying.
Enjoyed listening to Folkcast. You can help us to bring you more of the best in folk, folk rock, singer-songwriter and roots-based music by sending some money our way. The Begging Bowl on the front page of our website, folkcast.co.uk, takes donations via PayPal. Or, if you're in the UK, just send us an email for details of how to donate by cheque. And here's a big thank you to those listeners who have made generous donations in the past. Cheers!